Welcome, everyone, to the Plastic Surgery Revolution. I am your host, Dr. Stephen Davis, and co-host is Jannie Moon. How you doing, Jannie?
Hi. It's that gobble-gobble time to stuff ourselves silly soon.
Oh, my God. I can't believe Thanksgiving's just a couple of days away. Can you imagine how fast this year is just flying?
It's like every year. It's like life.
I guess when you start to get a little older, things like that happen, you know? Yeah. But that's the beauty of plastic surgery, because here's the thing. So a couple of things. For everybody listening out there, just in case you didn't know that this was the busiest time of the year for plastic surgeons, it is. And here is my top three reasons, Jannie, why. Okay?
I'm curious.
Here we go. Number one. Your family's going to be around most likely for Thanksgiving. So you're going to have additional help. So if you have children, they're going to be around to help with the kids. If you're having some kind of a surgery and you're going to need assistance, you got the family around. So that's number one. Number two, you most likely have a few days off. So this is also going to be a major thing so that you can not only like enjoy yourself during the Thanksgiving, you're going to have time off, you can recover, and you have the family around, like I said, in number one. And number three, this is the craziest one. Are you ready? Nobody gives a damn if you look like hell at the Thanksgiving table. It's all about just eating. It has nothing to do with anything else.
Yeah.
You know, if it was Christmas, and you're going to go to all these parties with different kinds of people, if it's like New Year's Eve, and you're going to a fancy party, those are reasons that you most likely, you know, figure you can't look like crap.
Yeah,
you can't look like crap. You can't have bandages. You can't have all those things. So I think those are my top three reasons right there. And what I think is kind of interesting about the whole thing is that it's also the preparatory stages of the Christmas season and New Year's. So if you were going to get work done or you were going to have something done, you have a full month to basically recover before you have to unveil yourself at the Christmas party or the New Year's party. So there you go, Jenny. That's why I think every year this week is the busiest week for plastic surgeons. And I'll tell you, for me, the Friday after Thanksgiving is probably one of the busiest days that people book in advance for surgery.
Oh, really?
Because they know they're going to have off and they're going to have time. And again, I think it's also that great span of almost a month before you really have to like show yourself in front of people that you may not see again for a whole year. So it's kind of interesting, you know.
That it's really interesting. So they try to book with you immediately so that they can have stuff done before the Christmas parties and New Year's parties.
Absolutely. Like those dates, like Memorial Day, Labor Day weekend, like around Christmas, around all those times when people know they're going to have additional time off from work, or, you know, if they're students, they know they're going to have like a Christmas break or something like that. There's a lot of that that goes on. So they come in maybe 6 months or a year in advance and say, okay, look, I want that date because that's when I know I'm going to have off. So it's kind of interesting. A lot of fun things that we can do. Tomorrow, which is the day before Thanksgiving, is a huge day of all this injectable stuff. So all the stuff that we can do in an office setting. Tomorrow is a huge day with the Botox and the injections for wrinkles and lips to be made more, you know, luscious or whatever. It's kind of a fun day tomorrow. So I got to tell you something I thought of, Jannie.
Yes.
Everybody listening, I got to tell you something I thought is kind of interesting. Do you know there's a subsection of people that have a person that cleans their house? You know, every week, let's say, they have somebody that comes to the house and they have a house cleaner, right? Did you ever meet a person that cleans their house before that maid or that service comes? They tidy up before?
Oh, yeah. I did that today.
So why do you feel compelled to do that? I have to ask you that.
I do it because we're at our farmhouse and our farmhouse is huge and I've cleaned this whole house and I feel sorry for anyone who has to do it because it's so much work.
I see.
So anything I can do to just like, and then also the idea is like if everything's relatively clean, she can go do a deeper clean.
I got you. That makes sense. I like that because I'll tell you why. Here's what I'm thinking. Over the course of the last 2 weeks, I've had multiple patients that have come in to tell me they're embarrassed to go to the gym because they don't think that they look like they're in shape and they're going to be embarrassed to go to the gym and get into shape. So it's almost like a catch-22. They don't want to go to the gym and exercise with all the equipment and all the stuff that they've paid for, you know, the pool, the bikes, the, you know, the weights, all that stuff, because they're embarrassed about how they look in their workout clothes and going and standing there in front of the mirror with all the other people they see, they're embarrassed. So it's actually one step before they want. So here was my analogy. My analogy was that, you ready for this? My analogy is this, Jenny. My analogy is that people come to see me as a plastic surgeon because they want to get in shape enough to get to the gym so they don't feel bad about how they look. Similarly, you're cleaning the house, or people will start to clean the house a little bit in advance of when their house cleaner comes because they're trying to like set it up and make it look maybe not as of a disaster as they're expecting it to be. So I'm just thinking, most of the time when I see patients in the office, it's either one of two stages. And that's what I wanted to talk to about with everybody today is, and you may find that you fit somewhere in the middle, but for the most part, here are the two groupings of people that I see, Jenny. Ready?
Oh, yeah.
It's the person that's really done their job of exercising, dieting, and they're just like, you know, shot out of a cannon. They may have gotten, you know, a bad report from their doctor with some blood work or something, or they found out that they're pre-diabetic or something like that. And it just triggered something to say, that's it. I'm going to start exercising. I'm going to diet. I'm going to get into the best shape I can. And what happens is they get to a point where they just can't do it by themselves anymore. And that's when they come in to see me. So that's like subsection, let's say A. So that grouping of those patients are people that are motivated. They've done everything they possibly humanly could do, they feel, to make themselves the best, you know, person that they could with the way they look. And then they said, okay, that's it. I just can't do anymore. I need some help. Category B patient is exactly the opposite. They come in and go, look, I know myself. And this is the person that won't go to the gym because they don't like the way they look. This is the person in category B a lot of times that comes in and goes, look, I know there's a lot of work I got to do, but I need a kickstart. I need somebody to help me motivate myself so that I can look in the mirror and say, okay, I'm on the road to getting into shape. And that's why I'm coming here, because I want you to do something to make me get on the right track. And once you've put me on that right track, I promise I'm going to stay on the wagon. I'm not jumping off track. I'm going to stay on and I'm going to do what I have to do. So in my head, Jenny, that's kind of like the separation of the two groups that I see. Does that make sense to you?
It totally does. And it makes complete sense. I love the gym analogy, like getting in shape before you go to the gym.
Right. I mean, do you see people with the things that you do in like some of the coaching and stuff that like has taken it to a certain level and then they need your help from the coaching perspective?
Oh yeah, definitely. At all points, for sure. At all points. But I think it's super interesting how it's like you go You know, it's like, I mean, whenever, like when I go to the doctor, I always like look nice because I feel right. like, I don't know, whatever they're going to do is going to be better. It's like I don't know. What's the psychology behind it? I wonder.
I'm not sure exactly. I do think though that a lot of what I see and a lot of what I talk to my patients about, if there was some way to really get this information out in a real concise manner, I'm totally sure that it could help so many people. Because I think this information is nebulously understood by everyone. Because what we're talking about right now with everyone is really not like, oh my God, that's like genius, that's rocket science that you just came up with. It isn't. But what's so hard is trying to figure out what are the buttons that you would need to press in someone to get them to see what I'm talking about with people that come to see me on a daily basis. Like, what are the buttons? What are the triggers that we could talk about with people in general that would motivate them enough to really understand that there's a process that they really need to engage in for them to really see the benefits of all of this stuff? You know, like, you know, if you're really trying to learn to play the guitar, you can try to seek out the best guitar teacher in the world, but at some point you're going to have to sit down and practice it. So reading about how great it is to play a guitar or reading about how to play a guitar is wonderful. It gives you a lot of information. But if you don't sit down and actually try it and practice it, you're really never going to be able to achieve that. And I think in a lot of ways, all the self-help books and all that self-help category, let's say when you go strolling through Barnes & Noble, are very popular and they're wonderful. And some people always have a great way of taking the same information, right, Jenny? And they spin it in such a way that it's more easily digested by people. You know what I mean? Like most of the time, a lot of those books that I see isn't like someone came up with a brand new approach to something. It's kind of like basically the same kind of thought process, but it's been
packaged, discussed in a way.
It's packaged in a way that, you know, is just different. And maybe that's the package that resonates well with certain people, and then they can take that and run with it. What I'm saying is a lot of what you and I both talk about with people is so important, but I think making the initial step for them to come into, let's say, my office to have a consultation, in a lot of ways is that door that just got opened that makes them take that step in to go, okay, now I'm in. Now I really have to do something about what's bothering me for so many years. As opposed to thinking about it and reading about it and going online and like looking at all the social media stuff on something. When the patient really makes that phone call and walks in the door, I think it's very close to being something that they've really like achieved. Although they haven't done a damn thing yet physically, mentally, they've almost engaged themselves in a way that makes it like, okay, I can see where it's attainable now. Does that make sense?
They're taking action.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They're taking an action. And even though it may seem like a minimal action, it's a big action. Because, listen, yesterday I had a 45-year-old woman come in who is completely embarrassed about ever taking her clothes off in front of her husband. They've had 3 kids, and she's let herself go to such an extent after the 3 pregnancies now, where she says she literally has the lights completely out. She's completely clothed whenever they get intimate. And she was in tears explaining to me that it's just something she doesn't want it to be like that. She just needs to have an idea. How can she make this better? And it takes a lot of guts. Like you said, that's an action step for her to come in and actually reveal that kind of a personal message to me. Mm-hmm. Is you know, takes a lot of guts to do that.
Absolutely.
And Anyway, that's what we're talking about. It's a whole Thanksgiving celebration here at the Plastic Surgery Revolution. Jani, what are you doing for Thanksgiving?
I am spending it at our farm upstate with my wonderful in-laws who just got here today, and I'm going to rest and take it easy, and I hope you do too because you work too hard.
Well, I'm going to do that too. Tomorrow's the big day, and then after that, I'm going to take it easy for the rest of the Thanksgiving holiday. And for everyone listening, I hope you have a very happy Thanksgiving, and we'll be back to talk with you next week. And I'm your host, Dr. Stephen Davis, with co-host Jani Moon. And I hope everyone has a wonderful Thanksgiving. Bye-bye, Jani.
Bye.